Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight, we dive in depth to the one, the only, Harcourt Fenton Mudd. What have you been up to? Nothing good, I'm sure. Well, let me tell you, you lazy, no good, nothing. Star Trek Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I don't know if it's good that I had the occasion to use this song, but I used it anyway. It is the Harry Mudd episode of Star Trek Weekly, and so I felt compelled. I said this on the air last week. I had to go with Puddle of Mudd. I regret it already, but welcome to Star Trek Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt, and joined, as always, by Carrie Lane.
What's up?
And Frank Moran.
Hey, guys.
So we are indeed doing, you know, a little bit more of our homework from Star Trek Discovery and looking back at episodes from the original series or other series that tie into it. And so for tonight, we are looking at three appearances of Harcourt Fenton Mudd. We can actually also talk about the two appearances on Discovery, how they tie in. But we are talking about Mudd's Women is the first one, I, Mudd, and then the animated series one is called something else. Which, when we get to it...
Passion of Mudd?
Passion of Mudd. Is it really Passion of Mudd? It sounds just like Puddle of Mudd.
That's right.
This band should be called Passion of Mudd.
Or, I'm sorry, Mudd's Passion.
Mudd's Passion. You see that? Yeah, Mudd's Women,
it's
Mudd's Passion.
Slightly different sound there.
So, where I like to start with these things is with you, Carrie, because this is all new to you.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you saw... So, for you... Rainn Wilson is Harry Mudd. And then you're like, well, what about this guy? Who's this guy?
Well, I know you were speaking about him, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, no, it didn't really surprise
positively.
You.
Positively. So then I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't love the animated episode.
So that is indicative of the animated series as a whole.
Okay.
It's pretty much like that. Obviously, the animated series...
So dry.
It's a little dry. The budget was not huge.
But
typically, especially in 1973, your animated series really has to cater to children.
Mm.
I think as if you compare it to animation of that time period, it's actually fairly adult.
Mm.
But at the same time, yeah, it's not, you know, the argument has been made whether or not the animated series is really canon, but there are things that have shown up. There's a... Captain names and various characters have actually shown up subsequently. So, it's the majority of the real cast. And in the second season, we get more cast members from the original series. But, that's not the best indication of Harry Mudd, is that one?
I thought the actor was very engaged, fun to watch. I agree with how you were referring to him before. I forgot the actor's name now. The original Harry Mudd.
You know, I had it.
Really?
And I'm having so many problems with my device. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, I thought he was very fun and charismatic, and I think you had mentioned, like, he had a background in theater, and I'm like, yeah, I could definitely see him being a really entertaining kind of theater
Roger
presence.
Roger C. Caramel.
There it is.
Caramel.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I liked him as well. I think it's funny that all three episodes of him involve women and, like,
we will definitely
stuff.
Talk
okay.
about that. Yeah.
I thought the older episodes were very fun and funny, too.
Yeah.
A lot of humor. Maybe that's the problem. The animated series didn't have any of the humor of the original show.
Yeah, I think that they felt like it would have gone over everybody's head. And also, they don't, you know, they had 24 minutes of story. So.
And some of it was intentional and not, because some of it is just the datedness of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of its charm. Is watching it now and being like, oh,
yeah,
it's dated, but that's fun.
It is the interesting thing about it, and you're right. The episodes all deal with women. And we'll
talk
about
love and
we'll talk about the original series episodes first. And you know, the animated series, it's almost like an afterthought. But yeah, it's interesting because a lot is made about how Star Trek was really a progressive show in terms of, you know, racial equality and sort of, but just being a product of the time period, it still comes off fairly sexist.
And the
case could be made. I found it very entertaining, but so I wondered if you, as a woman, would watch that and go like, well, you have to watch it from the context of the mid to late 60s.
No, I think they've addressed things well enough in the show. I thought it was very interesting in the, I think it's, Mudd's Women, because that's the first one where they meet him.
Yes.
I think it's interesting that when they take him down to the mines, the big thing about the one guy who's there is I didn't hit her. Like, that was a big thing of, like, I didn't touch her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
It's like he went there.
That was very time period specific. And that one I felt dealt with, like, female characters in a strong way because they're pointing out, like, you just want a sex slave. You don't want someone to, like, love you, take care of you, and help you out and be your equal. And they address it. So I was like, okay, well, then that's cool. I actually wanted more. I was a little bit bummed that Uhura isn't really present in that episode because I would have wanted her to be, like, either affected by it or not. And this would have been way too progressive for them. But I would have wanted one of the male crew members to be like, it could have been a side joke to have him just not be affected.
Well, it would have.
Because that's not the way he leans.
You know? If you could re-edit the episode now, Frank, I would figure out a way to have Sulu just, you know, have her come by and he's just like, he's just not into it.
No, he has a line like, yeah, it's all though.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, he has to put on a front, you know, so.
And I do like that they recycled the dresses because later in the iMud, two of the, like, women robots are wearing the dresses from the other one.
Look, Harry has a type.
But that's the same guy, so I understand that he's like, I like this outfit.
So they were fun, though.
I felt it was fun. I didn't find it like, oh, this is so annoying and offensive.
You know, there's only
like
79 episodes of the original series, so it's hard to be like, oh, I'm going to put like together a top 10 because it's like a huge percentage of the series. However, I would say probably Mudd's Women, more so than iMud, would definitely be in a list that I put together of my favorite ones because, and I just always think of kind of both of them because I like him, you know, so much.
Well,
and
they're entertaining in general, too, because like the absurdities they get into in iMud are so like, this is different, and so it's fun.
And I've talked about my favorite episode being Trouble with Tribbles, the character Cyrano Jones, not that dissimilar from Harry Mudd.
Yeah,
and, you know, could very well have been Harry Mudd, but, you know, I think that they wanted to create a new character. So, Frank, getting to rewatch all of this, what struck you with this viewing of Harry Mudd?
It, again, since the Discovery one was the one that was much more present in my mind.
Sure.
And these was just trying to see, can I stretch the line from Rainn Wilson to Roger C. Caramel?
Yeah.
Oh, super different vibe.
And I don't know that it's possible to imagine them as the same character. Even if
how far apart are they supposed to be?
Less than 10 years. About 10 years, I think, actually.
Then there's a lot that happened.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just discount the physicality, like, you just completely say, like, all right, it's a different actor. He's not going to, you know, be that large and lose his hair that much. You know, just the type of character, it's very different.
Oh,
you know, there is sort of the cunning sneakiness behind the Rainn Wilson one. And they both are determined to take over a starship. So there's that. But, yeah, I think to Frank's point, it's hard to really have the mesh. In fact, it's a little bit more apparent when you're actually watching these episodes again, right?
Yeah, there's like an edge to Rainn Wilson's interpretation that just I feel like is just like deep and mean as opposed to what Roger Caramel was doing, which at times can be just kind of not necessarily a buffoon, but I mean,
it's very over the top.
Yeah, it's a much more broad character for, I think, a time when, you know, that was kind of, you know, in line with what you expected.
Maybe a bridge would have been is if the newer one had a little bit more of that charm and womanizer, because that's the thing that the old one had so much of. And I could believe the older one, like, you know, a lot of bad things have happened to him that he gets to that point.
Yeah.
But I felt the new one didn't have enough of the old, but I don't mind them changing up the interpretation.
The new one is more of like the evil genius, like the Lex Luthor type. This is just, you know, a con man who you see in both of these episodes. He's forced to think on his feet, and you know, obviously when we meet him, he says he's someone else. You know, and I think all of that stuff is fun to kind of revisit.
Well, I mean, I guess that's just the nature of just writing. Now, when you go back and revisit a character and then try to do like a precursor to that version that you've seen with today's modern writing, it's just going to seem very different. So I guess it's just hard to reconcile the Discovery writers trying to write something that is kind of fits into modern television writing, but then also supposed to be a setup for where we get to in the original series. I think that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to make a character that is more in line with the Harry Mudd that we already know, the one that we met.
I think that one wouldn't fly today for most audiences.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot
it'd
of...
just be cheesy.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of ways to look at it, you know. It's just just for what people expected in that time. And, you know, it's funny because he's got that, like, great voice, you know, and that's probably the best part of the animated series is, you know, you hear him and he's like, there
he is.
It's very
expressive,
it's like, yeah, he's perfect for that. And, you know, I did some legwork trying to find out if I was right. I hear his voice, and to me, he sounds like one of the voices in Pirates of the Caribbean, the actual ride, not the movie. And I couldn't find out if I'm right, but he's like, kind of show us your larboard side. And I'm just like, it sounds like him, but I couldn't find anything that he ever did anything like that. So I just feel like...
It won't be there much longer if it is still there.
Well, I know. You want to talk about changing times.
Right? See, I'm okay with that saying there. I'm like, it's part of the ride.
Yeah, I mean, look, they did away with the pirates chasing after the women. Okay, that's a bit much. But they can still buy a bride? Come on. I guess not. Not at Disneyland.
Well, they're trying to sell them in the Star Trek episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, given these two versions that we've seen, which one do you kind of resonates more with you? Which one do you? Which version of Harry Mudd do you like better?
Well, let's ask you first, because it's sort of obvious.
As a villain or a foe, I like the new one better. As someone who's just kind of that annoying, throws a wrench in your regular daily life, then the older one is fine. Because the older one, I'm like, he's not like a bad guy. He's just like, oh, it's you again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Know? He's, you know, I mean, but here's the thing. He was willing to basically imprison the entire crew of the Enterprise on that planet just so that he could get away. So,
or maybe,
you know,
his evilness is not so apparent.
No,
so
he's very self-serving. And I think that that's the common bond between both of them. It's, you know, I think going forward we'll probably see that Harry Mudd again, and I think to Frank's point, he is much more in line with what you get in this day and age on television. But just sort of the soft spot in my heart, I love a character like the Roger C. Caramel Harry Mudd.
Like the episode when he's doing things over and over again, like that was entertaining to see him be a little more playful with it. Like, I've already done this already, and like, you guys are going to do this again. Like that, maybe he had a little more fun to play around.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It would be hard to have a character closer to the original interpretation doing that, you know, trying to take over in that way. So
I was actually wondering if in the I, Mud, his wife was going to find him the way it is in Discovery of, like, we found her and, like, brought her. I was like, oh, I wonder, because it was like, the robots will do anything for you. Can you go get her?
Yeah.
I was wondering if that was going to happen. I'm like, no, they went a different way with it, so it's cool. But I think it's funny that, like, the newer one, they gave him a gorgeous bride, and the old one, it's, like, naggy.
Not
very attractive.
It's a very Alice Cramden type from The Honeymooners.
Yeah.
And that was sort of one of those things that I'm just like, man, that's such a like a dated trope to have, but it's so in line with, you know, what made the show great in the 60s, which is like, oh, I have this nagging wife at home that I, you know, made me take to the stars to get away from. But it's just, to me, it's just what it was always the takeaway was the you know, android version of his wife, you know, using his full name and all that, and him not being able to get her to shut up. You know, it's like, there's a little lesson for what married life is like.
Of them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's like 500 nags.
Well, I was just wondering if he could later, like, based on their programming, I'm like, could he eventually learn to talk to them and woo them and make it so that they're not all crazy?
I mean, it's a great point because obviously the original Stella at some point was with him for a reason.
Yeah.
You know,
she married him for something.
For something. It's not entirely apparent right away.
Yeah, no.
You know,
his fashion sense.
Right?
Honestly, I love his fashion sense. And that's the most disappointing part about the animated version is that it wasn't colorful enough. You figure in like a cartoon, you could go crazy.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, he looks like he's just missing the head and he could be like a parrot, like on the shoulder of one of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Or any of the Star Trek crew. I like their pirate pants and boots.
Yes.
The old series. And that skin tight green of Kirk's shirt is like, whew.
That Kirk shirt is interesting because it only shows up sometimes, and it's not the fancy dress shirt which you do get in specific episodes. What's the rhyme or reason to the green shirt, do you think, Frank?
I don't know, whether it's just Shatner wanted something different.
Was it less form-fitting, maybe, late in the season?
It's so tight, though.
It's tighter, huh?
It's super skin tight.
I always liked that green one, though. I was always down. I was
it's
like,
not
all right,
bad.
Yeah.
It just looks very like... What's up, ladies? That's what he's wearing.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's probably what it is, yeah.
He's captain of one of the most premier starships there in the Federation. Of course, you know, you got to flaunt it.
Notice how small he is.
Who, Shatner?
Yeah, because when there's the shots where it's like the whole, like all of the men standing next to each other, and I'm like, he's not short, but next to everybody else, he's just more petite.
And... you know, Mud is like huge.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's not just tall. His like whole frame is big. It's not like he's fat. He's just a big guy.
But he's also fat.
He's heavy.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's...
Thank you.
He's a little more around the middle. He's big. Like his shoulders aren't like big buff shoulders or something.
We kind of alluded to sort of, you know, when Mud's women are first on the ship, the fact that
no one on the crew
can do their job, which I thought was very... Except, of course, for Spock. My favorite... is Dr. McCoy. Just that look on his face and like, okay, so you could easily be these girls' like grandfather. Like, just dirty old Dr. McCoy is just like...
Yeah, that first shot when they arrive on that transport and then it pans over to Bones and the other guy.
Yeah.
And just that look on his face, you're like, geez, Bones, man.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe it's been
tone
a
it
while.
Down.
I think he's ready for some shore leave is what I think.
Yeah, Bones, I just love the ladies because there was the one with their back to the camera and I'm like, well, that's a weird way to beam up. Oh, because then she can do... Hi.
Yeah.
And then turn over the shoulders. But see, like, that was so wonderfully cheesy. I'm like, okay, they milked that. Like, that, I'm like, okay, now we're just being absurd. But
and,
it was good.
And they
it was
absolutely
funny.
Milked it, and they used the...
Oh, the close-up booty shot when they walked down the hallway?
And they used the Elizabeth Taylor filter where, you know, it's just, it's a little
glowing.
Bit... Yeah, they're glowing. Yeah. And I thought it was funny. And it's a great... opportunity for Spock to shine.
They should have had a redhead too. They got a blonde and they had the dark hair.
That's true.
They should have had a redhead too.
You know what? Maybe they're just no gingers in that.
Apparently
quadrant,
not enough.
You know? maybe just miners don't, or not miners, but prospectors or whatever they were intended for.
And again, one pass, one walk by of O'Hara, like, dude, you guys are acting weird, and that would have been fun.
Yeah, I know. She's like, hey, I'm here every day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, or something.
What about
like
all
that?
This?
Yeah.
Well, it was weird when they first materialized. The first person that we cut away to is Spock.
Yeah.
And just his reaction, where you feel like it's that
he was kind of digging it.
Yeah. It makes you think like, oh, hey, what's this? And then he gets all like, no, I'm Vulcan.
Yeah, well,
I'm Vulcanian.
Just imagine if he runs into those three girls during Pon Farr. Oh, then it's a different story.
There you go. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
I'm not enough into it.
Yeah, so I was going to make sure that... Vulcans mate every 7 years.
Ah, okay.
And they basically, like... It's like a cat in heat.
That's the... don't they kind of have that moment in one of the Star Trek movies as he's doing the aging process?
It's Star Trek 3. Yeah.
I did see that part.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't remember it, yep.
And that's what that's in reference to, yeah.
It's when him and Savick hooked up, no?
I mean, if it's gonna be Savick, it can't be Robin Curtis. It has to be Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Savick. In any case, I think that there are definitely some great moments, and of course,
a lot
it
of
has
comedy.
Yeah, this one's actually fairly funny, I'd say, Mudd's Women. I might also. They're both very funny episodes. Yeah. Which is funny because it's interesting because from week to week, and we've talked about this before on the show, like, the show is so different. I mean, it's not Twilight Zone different, but you'll have your really serious mm-hmm. episodes. But so many of them, the most memorable ones for me are usually the funny ones, you know? And I think that you bring in, I was going to say a cartoon character. I guess later on he is a cartoon character, but just a broad character like Harry Mudd, it just really lends itself to the comedy. What I liked was the casting of the miners down on the planet. Just some of the nastiest, grossest looking guys.
Like, meh.
And you're like, oh man, these poor girls.
I just want to know why they were so ready to settle for any man. I'm like, it's a big galaxy, ladies.
Well, because the point being is that they're allegedly ugly, which I would say two of them, when they're not on the pills, you're just like, well, they're all right.
Yeah,
you
know, I was like, two of them.
What's the problem? You know, it's like, I've done worse. Come on, you know? I mean, and that's the interesting thing is like, because when they're ugly, you're like, they're not that ugly.
Yeah, it's only the one in the green dress that was like,
They should have cast different women, you know?
Yeah, you should have actually had like an ugly 80-year-old woman. Or old.
Old would have been probably better, yeah.
Well, because then they're like, because Eve, too, her scene where she's like, takes the candy jellies and like, just kidding, they're placebos, they aren't really the thing. And I'm like,
I found that to be a little bit of a flaw, which was not exactly a story point that I remembered into the episode. And I was like, actually paused it and I thought about it. I'm like, well, it doesn't quite work, but, you know, you move on.
I can buy it like your confidence makes you sexy. Mm. Fine.
But for the reasons you mentioned, she looked different.
Yeah, like I almost would have wanted her to like, you know, not, she doesn't need a brush to brush her hair, but she could have done this. And then, like, you know, I'm like, no. They could have done natural, nicer makeup and, like, make that the illusion of better.
Right.
Instead of, like, blue eyeshadow that I'm like, yeah, it magically appeared there. Yeah, that's how that works, guys. Duh.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we've sort of been jumping around amongst all the episodes, but that's primarily Mudd's Women. Let's talk a little bit about Mudd.
The robots.
Oh, and, one thing I want to say just about Mudd's Women, though, is just what I like. The two different things is, one, you just get into, like, just like the minute details of having a Federation starship, and just like, it's kind of not so glamorous day-to-day activities where they're arresting Mudd and they put him on trial for going into wrong areas. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's just like, you know, not the glamorous parts that you see really basing episodes around. But then also too with the miners, you get to see, like, we're supposed to be in this kind of utopian future that Gene Roddenberry imagines, and yet we go to this mining planet where it's just like, these guys are
use
the dregs.
Sand to clean their pots and pans.
And they can't even figure out to
I love her snapback.
I did like that.
I bet you didn't even think of that. And he's like, no.
He's like, ugh. I mean, I did. I just didn't want to do it. And then you see the pans out there later.
He's like, oh, that's a good idea. Like, their interaction was actually really nice and entertaining and realistic, too. Like, totally makes sense. He's like, yeah, of course I want a babe. And then she points out, like, no, that's not really what you want out here.
No.
And that's temporary, too. And, like, what you really get with it is, like, yeah, she's like, so you want someone conceited, self-centered, and not care about you. Okay. We can do that.
Yeah. It's a good point because that's, you know, if you're going to actually live on that planet, you don't want anybody like any of those women.
No, they could not handle it
at all. You want somebody that's just, you know, honestly, somebody that can help you lift heavy things, you know? Because it's like, it's going to get windy, stuff's going to get knocked over, you know? Somebody that can, like, really do some serious yard work with you. That's really what you need.
I don't care what you look like. What do you bench?
Do you even lift?
So iMud is kind of it's a rare, I think, unless I'm mistaken, this is the only instance where an actor reappears playing the same character. You have some actors who play different Klingons and things like that in the original series. But in the original series, And by the way, I can't believe that there was no push for a Harry Mudd to appear in any of the movies, by the way. You know, I know that he was in poor health by the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was reading was that there was a plan to have him on an episode of Next Generation. They would have done the old caught in the transporter loop for like 70 years, which they ended up doing with Scotty.
Yeah.
Allegedly, it was a plan for, I think, the first season, but he was sick and then he passed away. And that would have been great to see sort of an older Harry Mudd. Like,
yeah.
So what has he been up to? Well, except for being mm-hmm. trapped in the transporter. But up until that point where he got trapped in the transporter.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was? And honestly, even trapped in the transporter, he would have probably been running some scam. You know, he would have figured out a way. But I love him as, like, Emperor Mudd the First.
Yes.
Just the, you know, what can I say? They worship me, you know, and sort of that whole approach. And it's funny, watching the episode, you're reminded how many fun little, some people say gifts, some people say gifs, gifts of the Enterprise crew is taken from this. Like all of them jumping up and down, being silly and dancing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I've actually had that, you know, posted at me. Just because they're doing the most random things.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And sort of that quintessential moment, that takeaway where how do you confuse a computer? Will you tell them that you always tell the truth, but you're lying, and then you know their head starts smoking.
No, you always lie.
You
and
always
then you
lie.
Say I'm lying.
That's right. See, I said I juxtaposed it, but exactly.
Nearby, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's interesting because it deals with sort of like the centralized intelligence. There's a lot happening in here.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, the legions of 500 women that all look the same and want to do everything, you know, do anything to help you.
I wonder how many were actual twins on that set.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that when I looked at it. Because then some of them in the wider shots, like, well, they're not really twins.
Yeah.
You know? But,
and then the end when there's the other models,
yeah.
Like the other versions, some of them didn't look anything alike, and some of them I'm like, yeah, they kind of look similar, so I'm curious how many.
Yeah, and I like that Chekhov gets right to the, well, you know, you're not a real woman. And they're like,
yeah.
Oh, no, we're real. And then he's like, how real are you? And like, Chekhov, come on.
If you're a dude stranded alone,
especially if you know,
and
you're
beautiful,
you're a handsome Russian who looks like Mickey Jones from the Monkees. What do you think, Frank, watching this one? Sort of, I feel like, you know, it's such a logical progression. They have to do a little like, hey, weren't you supposed to be in jail? And then they explain it away and all that. But it's other than that, it's just like, oh yeah, this is exactly the sort of thing that this guy would find himself up to, you know?
And yeah, this kind of definitely establishes a pattern that had the series run longer than three seasons.
Yeah.
That you definitely would see this be a character that could easily reoccur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And bring it back anytime you want. And surprisingly, that they didn't do it for the third season for whatever reason.
Yeah, maybe they were just saving it. You know, actually, I know some behind-the-scenes stuff. He was on a sitcom that was produced by Desi Arnaz, Desi Lu, and he was on the first season, and it got renewed, and they told all the actors they were going to have to take a pay cut. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. Our contract says we get a raise. So they recast him. So that's probably why he's not on it, because some behind-the-scenes stuff maybe they didn't want to work with him again, or he was possibly busy doing the first season at that point. I think that's the timeline, actually. So, but at the same time, that didn't stop them from having him in an episode of the animated series.
For better or worse.
For better or for worse. Which, you know, I sadly, reading about Roger Carmel's career, this is the peak, is being Harry Mudd, and then the 1 year of that sitcom, which only lasted 2 years. Just like being on the animated series was actually a step up from where the next couple years went for him, which is sad because he's so great in this, you know? You're just like, well, he doesn't have to be Harry Mudd everywhere, but I want to see like him being this kind of character, you know? Where's the movie that this guy should have been in?
Would you rather have seen him like in Star Trek 4?
It would have been hard to do in any of the movies, and that's right around the time where I think he was sick too, so it would have been really hard to do. I think they would have needed to make, it's the same thing, they would have needed to make like 8 Star Trek movies with the original cast.
Yeah.
And then you excuse me, and then you get around to having the Harry Mudd movie. But you know, obviously having Khan be the villain that you go back to is the one that makes sense. You can't really have Harry Mudd behind all of that, you know, sort of. If you were to take the plot for Star Trek II and then you just you switch out Khan with Harry Mudd, I don't think the movie works.
Mudd!
See, it'd be worth it for that, for Shatner to be yelling Mudd. Anyway, I think there's definitely some sort of high concept things that probably weren't that common for at least television on sci-fi and television, excuse me. And it was the idea that there was the centralized, you know, there was like the one main android that was doing all the thinking for everyone, basically, and just confusing them because it's like, well, we're not happy. And, you know, just being angry and just watching the way that they kind of mess with the minds of them. It's a little cruel, but it's highly entertaining. Sorry. Just checking on the chat. Glad to see our friend Star Drew is there.
Yeah, I like their when they're trying to figure out, and you kind of do wonder, you're like, how would you explain that to a robot? But it's like inevitably human beings aren't happy imprisoned, even if you got everything you wanted.
Yes, and I think
you would be like, okay, I got everything
and
I wanted.
You weren't here the week that we talked about the cage, but that's the whole point of the cage. So you can give us everything we want. Yeah. We can think we're getting everything, but we're still in prison, and that's not what we want.
Yeah.
Some great moments. Some quotes. One of the favorite. They're in iMUD in particular. There are some great Spock and McCoy moments, especially early in the episode. And Spock has the line to McCoy when they're talking about Norman and why he's avoiding medical appointments. He's probably terrified of your beads and rattles. And it's just like, Spock, for like a purely logical guy, like, you know, I guess it's the half human side. You know, he's really able to, he's good with the one-liner, you know. And then Mudd actually saying to Spock is, you're going to love it here. They all talk just the way you do. I thought that it was just these are fun. Like,
Spock trying to speak, like, illogically to throw off when he has the two girls. And then later, oh my gosh, that was funny. He's like, so how do I do this? I got one, and it's like him trying to say a bad joke. I mean, it works for its purpose.
But I like how much the androids took to him, and he's like really interested in the technology.
Like, yeah, we like
that's
you.
A great scene, and
so
yeah,
I like you, but I hate you. Why? We're the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Mudd summarizes it best when he says, "You may be a wonderful science officer, but believe me, you couldn't sell fake patents to your mother." And he, of course, asks, "I fail to understand why I should care to induce my mother to purchase falsified patents."
Yeah.
Which, you know, honestly, if we could all sell fake patents to our mother, we would be we'd be much better off. I think that I guess the most dated thing really is the Stella aspect of it. And I don't know, I feel like in this day and age, because you don't get to say, like, it was such a, you know, it was like the sitcoms of the day, and you can have it in science fiction in the future. I don't feel like you get to have the nagging wife robot in something that you make now, you know?
Well, it's already been done too many times.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's a good point. But
nagging, it'd be the nagging mother-in-law. Like, that's universal.
Well, see, but that's also a kind of an antiquated idea, too.
Yeah.
You know, is the mother-in-law. And I just feel like in this day and age, you just can't get away with that, you know? You'd have to have something else about her, you know?
It wouldn't be as good, but maybe too clingy. That you could work, but it wouldn't be as strong of a thing.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you're thinking out there in YouTube. What do you like the most about iMUD and Mudd's women? Did anybody rewatch it to watch along with us? And what are sort of some of the things that you find most striking as you rewatch it? Let us know, and maybe we'll share it in a future show. I do go back and read the YouTube comments. I comment on them a lot. There are people who are very complimentary.
There are some suggestions, too, of what kind of themes we should cover.
Yeah, there's actually one that I want to do. There's one that's sort of like the best monster, but one that I also want to do is favorite alien. So maybe we'll each come equipped with, we'll each do a three. The way we do the South Park panel is when we have our sort of fill-in episodes is we each pick three things and we rank like our three favorites. So I think we'll pick our favorite aliens. And I'm talking about individual alien character, not, I mean, you could pick, you know. Well, now here's the interesting thing, Frank. When you pick the Borg, are you picking all of the Borg? Or can you really just isolate, you know, the Borg Queen? Can you isolate Seven of Nine?
Can you isolate Hugh?
Yeah, Hugh. I mean, that's hard. They're really just one individual thing.
But although I feel like for that one, you could separate those four elements. You get the Borg, Seven of Nine, Hugh, and well, you seem like Cutis.
You know, that's true.
Anything that has been kind of like shown in a series has been kind of separated from the collective, at least momentarily. I feel like you can treat it as a separate individual.
Yeah.
This is where I would have to catch up.
You'd have to watch a lot of Borg. No, but see, that's the thing is you've seen enough that you can pick favorite aliens. That's true. You know, I mean, you have to.
Salt-sucking alien from like one of the first ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, but maybe you like Lieutenant Saru. Maybe somebody from Discovery is one of your favorite. It doesn't have to be him. But, you know, it could be one of your favorite. Yeah. But I think that's what we should do for next time. We'll talk about favorite aliens. And look, we can all pick Spock, but, you know, then
so deeper down the bench.
Yeah, we'll go a little deeper, you know. Sarek. Or Mirror Universe Spock with the goatee.
That
might be my favorite Spock.
Robot face from Discovery. Never knew much about her.
Yeah, maybe season two. We're going to learn about it. In a moment, we'll talk about Mud's passion. But first, want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know, hey, Star Trek Weekly sent me over there. Go ahead and tell them. Conversations with Maria Menounos, Podcast Edition. Check it out. My favorite thing about the copy is that her name is spelled Mara. Mara Menounos. Her name is Maria Menounos, but somebody maybe didn't get that quite right. But anyway, Maria's show is great. She has great interviews and great advice. You know, it's not all for the ladies. I could get great life advice from there, too. So I would recommend everybody check that out. Now, in our final minutes here, we are going to talk about Mud's Passion, the animated series episode, and what Carrie was talking about. As I said, it's a fundamental problem with the animated series. It's not, it doesn't quite hold up to it, mm-mm, but there is the simple, hold that up to your close up. I love that. That should be a t-shirt, by the way. The animated Harry Mudd t-shirt.
And the black hair, his hair isn't black.
Yeah, but it's cheaper to animate. Look, it's the same company who years later, like a decade later, would do the He-Man cartoon. So
good old Filmation, where they will reuse footage as much as they can.
As much as they can. Yeah, exactly. That's basically what their business model is.
Yep,
there was like the other versions of Ghostbusters that they did, and the He-Man, where it's like a good 2 minutes of the show every week was like, repurposed animation. Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a bad episode. Just I was starting to fall asleep while watching because it just wasn't really exciting. But again, it was a concoction about love, and though it did seem to kind of work,
that was the interesting thing about it that I didn't remember is that it did work. It was Frank. It was great to see Nurse Chapel.
Of course,
glad that we had her.
Yes,
and it's funny. Like, wait, she loves Mr. Spock. I'm like, all right, let's go with it. Sure, why not? I mean, yeah, he's a good looking guy. I'm not saying that.
No,
it's just
him and Uhura forever.
There was never any indication that Nurse Chapel might have been like interested in anybody on the crew. But at the same time, I thought it was very funny. And Mud gets to be Mud, and yes, it's animated and it's not as funny. I do like the beginning part when Kirk and Spock go down to the planet and he's sort of, you know, being like the carnival barker.
Snake oil.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what he is. He's like the snake oil. So again, it's like, it's a great footnote because we only have the two episodes and it's like, oh, there's a little bit of fun, Harry Mudd. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was like a Best of Mudd Blu-ray, this would be like the bonus feature. It's like, and the animated series.
What I loved is that at the time when they were doing that, they thought that that was stuff that kids would want to watch.
Yeah.
Like, yep, kids are going to want to watch this guy.
Well, that's the interesting thing about it is that, you know, it's essentially for kids, but at the same time, it's like, well, yeah, it's kind of for kids, but it's for older kids. And like we were saying, it's a simple story, but it's, you know, watch episodes of Scooby-Doo. That's a perfect example.
See,
because
great.
I've seen Scooby-Doo episodes from 1973.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. It's on a different level, you know? Like, Scooby-Doo is kind of like, it's the remedial reading for the summer. This is the, do you want to be in the AP class when you come back? Well, then you watch the Star Trek animated series. And, you know, here's the thing about it. It's better than I remembered. It's not great. And, you know, there's the weird alien crew members that they could do because...
Yes, that was kind of cool.
The cat lady instead of Uhura. But that's actually because they didn't want to pay the cast members. And they actually get to be on in the second season. And somebody gets to write an episode. I can't remember if it's Chekhov or somebody gets to write one. I can't remember. What were you going to say?
She was at WonderCon today, which I was at. And I got a...
Who was there?
The actress for Uhura.
Nichelle Nichols. Mm-hmm. I saw her at Stanley's Kamikaze, Comic-Con. I don't even know what they call it now.
Did she have a big feathers with her?
No.
I don't think she did.
It was a panel for, there's a going to be, I don't know when they'll finish making it, a Star Trek museum and a horror museum they're trying to build in Los Angeles. And they've been in the process of getting fun for it. Actually, I think it's sci-fi, and Star Trek's a big part of it. And then she came in and spoke for a little bit, and that was actually really interesting.
I mean, a Star Trek museum would be great. There's enough props that you can have
That's I caught the end of it, but then they mentioned the horror museum, and just so many props and sets and things that exist out there, and I would believe it for Star Trek too. Yeah.
Well, just even like the Star Trek Experience in Vegas, where you'd walk through and they had. Yeah.
That timelines was fun.
And
really,
yeah. Go to Quarks.
That doesn't still exist, does it?
No.
I think they got rid of it. I remember doing that, though. That was fun.
That is all gone. That was something that... that was the Hilton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty fun, though. Even if you had never really seen much of it, it was still an exciting walkthrough thing.
Well, anyway, we hope everybody enjoyed visiting with Harry Mudd. You know, I wish... that I had enough of a wardrobe that I could have come in dressed like Harry Mudd in a Harry Mudd style.
Would you draw a mustache?
I would have grown that, and I would have bought the mustache wax. I really should have, you know.
You could have drawn it. You'd be like the 2D animation.
That's true. All right, you know what? Maybe for a future episode.
Halloween episode.
That's way in advance. Yeah, hopefully by Halloween we know when Star Trek Discovery is coming back.
Oh, please.
Because I love watching the old episodes and talking about it, but there's... very little news to report, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
I look every week to see if we can share anything. Nope, very buttoned down. But hopefully there's something to talk about soon. So there was talk before the show that next Sunday's Easter. But we'll be here. We'll talk about favorite aliens. You know, we'll pick some favorites. And let us know yours. Leave a comment on YouTube. But until then, you can follow us on social media. I'm Christian Blatt. You can follow me at ChristianDMZ. Carrie, where do people find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And Frank.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
All right. Thanks so much. Like I said, we'll see you next Sunday. But until then, live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.